What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, October 15th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Fran Mirabella the Third.
What is up, everybody?
Thank you, Fran. All last week.
Yes.
Not even, I guess Friday.
Yeah.
I was promoting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mystery guest on Monday, you don't want to miss it. Mm. And then I tweeted right before this, mystery guest is here, you want to... So many people are like, Fran, why does this matter?
Yeah.
The answer, of course, is that Fran, for the first time in 18 years, you don't work at IGN.com.
No, this is my first day of not working at IGN in 18 years. I've joked, I've graduated.
It only took you. You were an 18-year senior.
18 years, and I'm an adult now, so I finally graduated. Yeah, I just, like, I love my job. Loved. Man, I got to get into the past tense.
Dude,
you went through this.
Wait, it's going to be so hard for you to stop saying we.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for you to not write
I'll
ING.
Because I was there so long. You too, right? I mean, there's just so much at IGN that
We're still IGN. And, yeah.
Right? There's a DNA there. But anyway, so I was there at IGN for a very long time. Really liked my job, absolutely. But I became VP of video. And with that comes a lot of business needs, a lot of things to do on that end. And I've always been in my heart, you know, more of a creative director, a content person. You know me. I love being on a show like this.
It's definitely one of those things that, and I'm not trying to take away from anybody anyways, you're one of, and not the founders, but you're one of the founders, right, of IGN in
pretty
terms
much.
Of the fact that, you rise this level of VP, you run video, you're in meetings all day long planning.
Yeah.
It's easy to forget that you got the job because Cass Messina saw you on message boards, right, running your own site and doing your own Nintendo coverage.
Exactly. That was how I didn't even know I would end up here. You had a more of a predictable path, I would say, in the sense you were like training to be a writer. Training to be a computer engineer. I wanted to work on like graphics chips and stuff, but I wanted to design. I thought I was going to design the next Dreamcast or ideally Nintendo system.
Oh, wow.
That was
I didn't know that about you.
It was crazy, dude. I really wanted to design the next Nintendo system. This was when Project Dolphin or GameCube was happening.
Sure.
But anyway, that's how I arrived here. I always thought I'd come out a few years, review Majora's Mask, a couple other things, get it out of the way, and then go back to school.
Yeah.
But little did I know, video on the internet turned out it was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And I just started doing it, and it was in 2005. They're like, hey, by the way, do you want to start a video team here? And it's funny, at first I was like, I don't know, I want to write.
Video on the internet? Yeah, right.
I was like, I kind of want to write still, I want to interview people. But I slept on it. I was like, yeah. And then I started to hire some more people, Nick Scarpino being one of the very first video team members. Yeah. So here I am today, and that's also what strikes me. You guys have gone on to do such amazing stuff. All these people that have worked for me and now moved on, and I've been at IGN all this time.
Right.
And I want to work for myself, you know? There's a combination of things that I'm going to be doing to accomplish that, but I really hope that content is one of those things because I've just always loved it.
So that, do you think it fell into, well, as an outsider, right? I know when we were leaving IGN, when we were starting Kinda Funny, all that stuff, and it all happened organically at once, I started falling in love with Twitch. And it was one of those things that at the time, and this sounds crazy, you know, that wasn't really something happening at IGN where a lot of people were tinkering with it, but nobody was like, I'm doing it every day or every whatever.
Alfredo.
Yeah. And he was, I think, even after me, right?
Yeah.
I noticed you eventually started doing that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too long after we went, but maybe a couple of years.
Almost 3 years ago now.
Why did you start that? And then is that part of the reason you're branching out on your own now and leaving IGN?
Two very good questions. I started it because in a job where you look over content and see what's happening in video, I thought I understood Twitch. And I had people like Alfredo that were doing it and went on to do it. And I tried to tune in and I was like, huh. Like, I come from that traditional background. I'm like, if I want to know about a game, I'll watch a quick video on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just watch a trailer. And then,
why would
I'm
watch
done.
Somebody play it?
Why for like hours, right?
Yeah.
But then I started to like watch them. I'm like, you know, I want to try this out. And I was starting to play Destiny a lot, actually, which the community at large for Destiny was on Twitch. So I said, I got to try this out. What's it going to harm? So I put up my little, I call it peephole cam with the PlayStation eye.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
and it was
this
little vignetted circle.
Oh, yeah. I still use that at home.
It's so like scary looking. But I started there. And it's funny, as a video producer, it was kind of hideous, but I'm like, nah, let me just try it. So anyway, I kind of got the bug there.
Yeah.
And I noticed it was so much about the community and that live interaction, but the community more than anything.
Sure,
all of a sudden, repeat people coming back, there to support you. But similar vibe, and I have a lot of people now that come to my Twitch channel. They're like, this is like the least toxic Twitch I've ever been to. And at least for me, that means a lot because It means that I've been able to build something, and it's sure. pretty small right now, but I really, I enjoy that. And honestly, I love playing games.
Yeah.
But I was trying to figure out, and that's where I'm at today, right? I love playing games. And every time I'm like at IGN, I have no time to play games. You know, by the time I get home, there's just no time left. I figured out that streaming was some a way that I could maybe further my brand and my career while playing games, something that I love. And that's just kind of where it all started. What was the second question?
I think you answered it. That was part of it. Like, why did you get into streaming? And then right. Is that part of the decision? I think it's pretty clearly, yeah, right?
Yeah, it is. So I do want to continue streaming. Do it. Here's the rub, right? And what I'm trying to figure out, I usually do it at like 10 p.m. at night. Starting today, my time is my own again. And I got to figure out what I do that's on the business side, all the things I want to do with, you know, what I've learned at IGN, because I still want to produce videos.
Sure.
I still want to be hopefully part of business out there. You know, I need to make some money as well.
Yeah.
But I want to try streaming and content creation, period, during the day. And, you know, that starts today, figuring out.
As soon as you go home.
We'll see. We'll see, yeah.
Right onto Twitch, right?
Yeah, probably.
Where can people keep up with you on Twitch?
Twitch.tv/FM3 underscore. Not three characters. So FM3 with the underscore. But if you search for FM3, easy to find.
If you search Fran, you'll find it, yeah.
And probably Fran. Now, I have an old Fran Mirabella Twitch channel.
Don't go there.
You'll see. Like, FM3 is super easy to find.
Well, I'm so excited for you, Fran.
Yeah, thank you for letting me come on here.
Oh, no, I'm sure you're going to be on here quite a bit from here on out.
Get the word. I do actually want to take one moment to say, of like, wait a second. How come at IGN, like, how come you announced here on Kinda Funny and not IGN? Well, it's very easy. One, you have such an engaged audience that loves all the same stuff. And it did come down the numbers. And you have a huge audience. And secondly, your community here at Kinda Funny has already been so supportive for me.
Yeah.
I have them coming in all the time.
You know, it's that thing where I think the Kinda Funny best friends run in a very tight circle. And it is very much, we've talked about it before, right?
Yeah.
Where I think, this sounds weird, stick with me. At IGN, IGN's so big and so diverse that somebody who's reading one article might not even know who Fran is, whereas somebody who watches Fireteam Chat obviously would.
Yeah.
But it is that thing, we've talked about it before, of like, you hadn't been on the show yet, ever. Like, and I don't even mean the Games Daily, in general. But you were already a character.
I know.
Right? People already knew the Banana Nut Muffin story. And they already, every time Nick makes fun of Fran or something, they're like, ooh, nice. You know what I mean? We knew who you were. They know who you are. So when you became your own Twitch thing, right?
Yeah.
And like, it made sense that I obviously would go pop in and say, hey, everybody. And I would see a bunch of Kinda Funny emotes. And then when you'd pop up or get mentioned here, a lot of Fran emotes.
Exactly.
7-9.
But to finish, I just want to say, like, why didn't you announce it on IGN? I also didn't think it was appropriate to go on an IGN show and say, hey, hire me for work like I've done at IGN, because I left now. So hire me and come check out my Twitch channel.
Sure.
But I'm still going to be back on Fireteam Chat, obviously, to say my farewells. But I wanted people to know that there was no, like, I love all my friends at IGN. I love IGN.
Except Destin.
And so that was the only reason of coming here. And I love you guys. Kinda Funny. So thank you.
We're excited for this next chapter. We're happy to be part of it.
Thank you.
So many people, though, are mad. So let me do this. This is Kinda Funny Games Daily. If you didn't know, each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, bad PSN names for a few more weeks, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up. I like that Kevin literally screws up as I'm saying that. No need to report that. We understand.
We saw that one.
So we can set the record straight on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and for everybody listening later on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Extra Life 2018 is November 3rd. It's right around the corner, and we'll be streaming games and shenanigans for 24 hours as we raise money for the Children's Miracle Network. You can join right now. Join our team and raise money and play games as part of Team Kinda Funny, or just donate to one of the Kinda Funny members over at kindoffunny.com/extralife. And then today, we're brought to you by Hims, MeUndies, and Loot Crate, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Look at that. He's on it. You know what I mean, Kevin?
Never again, Fran.
Okay, calm down. Four items on the Roper Report.
Oh, Baker's Dozen!
Number one, I'm going to give you the whole shebang here. 100-hour work weeks have been apparently part of Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, my God.
This is via James Batchelor over at gamesindustry.biz. We're going to read what he talks about, because first off, let's dial it back even further. Vulture had an article with Dan Houser, of course, one of the Houser brothers, the heads of Rockstar. They put it up. It's a fascinating read, covers all sorts of shenanigans about what's happening with Red Dead 2. But one thing a lot of people have keyed in on, including Games Bachelor, was this talking about a 100-hour work week. I'm going to read that. However, IGN, You know them. They already have a response from Dan Houser about the interview and the way it's being spalled out. This is a long one. Stick with me. It's going to lead to interesting conversations. Dan Houser said that the team has been working 100-hour weeks several times in 2018, later adding that compared to previous Rockstar projects, quote, this was the hardest. His brother, thank you for the air quotes. His brother Sam told the site earlier this year, we've poured everything we have into Red Dead Redemption 2. We have really pushed ourselves as hard as we can. The result is a game that Dan claims is 65 hours long, although 5 hours of content has actually been cut, and boasts 300,000 animations, 500,000 lines of dialogue, recorded by 700 voice actors, and even more lines of code. The level of detail seen in the trailers and the glowing previews suggests this work has paid off, but it brings to mind the Rockstar spouse incident around the original Red Dead Redemption. Back in 2010, just a few months before the game launched, an open letter allegedly written on behalf of the wives of Rockstar San Diego employees claimed that the team was expected to work 60-hour weeks, 12-hour days, including Saturdays, or they would face disciplinary action. Rockstar later attributed this to, quote, people taking the opinions of a few anonymous posters on message boards as fact. We're saddened if any former members of any studio did not find their time here enjoyable or creatively fulfilling, and wish them well with finding an environment more suitable to their temperaments and needs. But the vast majority of our company are focused solely on delivering cutting-edge interactive entertainment, the studio said at the time. Quote, we've always cared passionately about the people working here and have always tried to maintain a supportive creative environment. There is simply no way Rockstar could continue to produce such large-scale, high-quality games without this. That being said, making great games is very challenging, which is why we have and will continue to try to keep hold of some of the best talent in the industry and support them in every way we can. Back in February, we asked Strauss Zelnick, again, this is GamesIndustry.biz, CEO of Rockstar's parent company, Take-Two Interactive, what the company was doing to ensure that a sequel to Red Dead Redemption 2 or Red Dead Redemption did not also produce a sequel to the Rockstar spouse. Zelnick responded that the company is really proud of its work practices. Quote, we have a hardworking company, Zelnick said at the time. It's a privilege to work at our company and our labels, and I believe that our work practices are sound and appropriate. It is a very busy time, but it's a time that people are anxious to participate in, and I stand behind it. The Vulture interview also reveals that in addition to 700 voice actors, there are an additional 500 motion capture actors, making for a cast of 1,200, all of which is represented by SAG-AFTRA, although there was no word on the impact of the 2016 strike had on the production. So, that's the big nut of this part that got broken out and people flipped out about.
Yeah, yeah. History of maybe some questionable practices, but then him saying, we're working 100-hour work weeks. Turns out there might be more content.
And what you saw immediately, right, was developers take to Twitter with this information. I don't mean like in a bad way, but the knee-jerk responses of like, whoa, this isn't something to be proud of.
No.
The way it reads in the interview is something, we're proud that we're all doing 100-hour work weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been for forever, really, in the games industry. There's this pride in, I worked like a
we
ton.
Crunch.
I
have a mattress
time.
At my desk.
Yeah, another term they use, a death march of like, I can't wait to get into the death march was actually a quote that someone was talking about on Twitter. But yeah, I saw the same thing. It's like, it's a trigger point.
Yeah.
Because there's this other side of like, that's unhealthy.
Yeah, of course. And that led to a whole bunch of people writing into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with angry responses. And a few that weren't, but we'll get to that in a second as we divulge more.
Are they mad at you or Dan Houser?
They were mad at Dan Houser. And then there was a couple different people who are like, hey, I work in this industry, not video games, not tech, not whatever. I work an 80-hour work week. And I understand that sucks, and it sucks that somebody's being forced to do this, but everybody needs to understand this isn't something central or limited to the video game industry. It is. We'll get to that in a second.
And there's also the whether or not you get paid for it, but that it's less about that here, but that's a fact too, obviously.
However, Dan Houser saw this, IGN reached out and got a statement. Here's the statement. There seems to be some confusion arising from my interview with Harold Goldberg, that's over at Vulture. The point I was trying to make in the article was related to how the narrative and dialogue in the game was crafted, which was mostly what we talked about, not about the different processes of the wider team. After working on the game for 7 years, the senior writing team, which consists of 4 people, Mike Unsworth, Rupert Humphreys, Laszlo, and myself, had, as we always do, 3 weeks of intense work when we wrapped everything up. 3 weeks, not years. We have all worked together for at least 12 years now, and I feel we need to get everything finished. After so many years of getting things organized and ready on this project, we needed to check and finalize everything. More importantly, we obviously don't expect anyone else to work this way. Across the whole company, we have some senior people who work very hard purely because they're passionate about a project or their particular work. And we believe that passion shows in the games we release. But that additional effort is a choice. And we don't ask or expect anyone to work like this. Lots of other senior people work an entirely different way and are just as productive. I'm just not one of them. No one, senior or junior, is ever forced to work hard. I believe we go to great lengths to run a business that cares about its people and to make a company that's a great place for them to work. So, dialing it back, yeah. Obviously, because that's the interesting thing. And you can even speak more to this than me, as your career in the games industry has been longer than mine, because you're an old man.
This is what I came here for, Greg.
Welcome to independent life.
You can't
go cry to Pear now, and I mean.
Oh, my back. No.
Crunch, again, used to be this thing that was celebrated. And to the point of, it's definitely a dirty word now. And there was a thing, I forget for what it was, but Walt Williams, obviously writer of Spec Ops Line, worked on Battlefront 2 with Mitch. He had done a piece he had written a book and then released a segment of it, I think on Polygon, that was his like love letter to Crunch and what good can come from Crunch. Yeah. And got a whole bunch of flack from that. And it is the thing right now where I feel it's, the industry is in this weird growth spurt, right? Because it is so young, but it is the thing of like, yeah, bro, we're and I shouldn't say bro, because I'm not putting in a bro thing, but the way I think of it, of like,
they're all surfers.
I go, yeah, man, hang 10. I think back to how we used to be at E3, where it was like, yeah, we're up, I'm writing a DS preview at 3 in the morning, yeah. Now that's a shitty way to work, right? And I feel like that's catching up to video games in general.
It is. Yeah, no, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's catching up. There's a stigma because of, like, you should be ethical. Games make tons of money. The big ones.
Yeah.
Other people struggle with it. But, you know, it really went, when you first read this, you're like, oh boy, here we go again. Yeah. That was my first reaction. Is like, Mr. Hauser, you got to remember talking about 100-hour work weeks with your team. This is going to blow up. But now you can see that's not what he was saying. And I read what he said. I was like, this feels like, you know, like all of us when I'm going to college or whatever, and I like just procrastinate or it all catches up with you. They already delayed the game a year and they realized they just couldn't get it all how they wanted it exactly. So they spent 3 weeks, 100-hour work weeks between a handful of people. That seems totally fine to me if they were passionate to do
it. Well, it's also the way you work, right? And I'm not trying... There's a whole bunch of different pieces to this, right? Where right now, to bring all we can ever do is our personal context. Mm-hmm. I'm working on the Kinda Funny Games Showcase.
Yeah.
This press conference we're doing in December.
Oh, man.
Which is so much more work than I thought it would be, right? To where, like, Andrea was like, oh, I'm not on the show tomorrow. I'm like, do you want to do it? Just do it with Alex Rubens. You do it. And she's like, okay, cool. So I can answer emails and take care of stuff. And that's something I chose to do, and I'm into it. But then that's me as a personal individual. Then there is this question, though, of how many times at IGN, obviously, because that's where we worked before, but it was that thing of leaving before your boss, and I think any business, right, is kind of frowned upon. So if you see the writing team still slaving away in there, do you have to wrestle with that in your head of, well, they're working really crazy. Right. Maybe I should stay later.
I think that is a very good point. It's a slippery slope. Have you made it clear to everyone, this clear, that that's what was going on?
Yeah.
By the way, Dan Hauser, very powerful man.
Oh, yeah.
What if he was just sitting there working away and his writing team felt compelled to stay? And if they felt it forced upon them.
And
now,
I'm not even talking about the writing team. Laszlo, he's been there forever. Laszlo's just down.
That's the next thing, exactly. Now they're all there, maybe optionally, maybe not. And then you're right.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking in that glass window like, I guess I'll grab dinner.
I gotta walk right back by them. I gotta walk by them to get to the elevator.
How do you make that clear to company and be thoughtful about it?
And that's in the wake of, you know, and Rockstar has always been a very private company in terms of what's going on behind closed doors, because they want it to be the Rockstar brand. I've only interviewed Dan Hauser once, and I remember that was like
super
a
private
watershed moment where at IGN, no one ever gave a flying fuck who I talked to. But then when a Dan Hauser came around, everybody came over with ask this, do this, don't say that. I'm like, all right, geez.
Yep.
You wonder about this one. Was the spouse thing a real thing? Did it get better afterwards? Were there all hands where they were like, we need to change, we need to do these things? The fact that they've released a statement so quickly, I think is them, hey, again, you know, the Hauser brothers, not reclusive, but not out that often in front of talking about
stuff. Yeah, they don't speak this quickly that often.
Exactly.
You're right. This is very rare.
But it is that question of like, you know, here it kind of funny, right? We've been, you know, historically we take the final 2 weeks of December off, then come back on January 5th, our anniversary. But the problem is January 5th keeps sliding deeper and deeper into weeks.
Yeah.
So like right now we're debating if we only take basically 1 week of December off the last week and then come back and then kind of have a half off of one. But that's, but this, so like right now as we wrestle with, are we taking the week of the 17 off? It is this, I keep having it and Kevin refuses to listen, honest conversation of, cool, you know, you don't need to come in. We can figure it out. You want those days off to sleep, go ahead and do it.
It's the same conversation you're having now where it's like, if your bosses are coming in and you live 5 minutes away, literally 5 minutes
away.
But
I'm telling you as your boss, right? Like, I don't give a shit. I'd rather you not come in because I'm going to have to hear about it all fucking day.
Him, Nobody's going to believe that.
No, but we're not a normal company.
That's for
sure.
We're
all dressing up as Ghostbusters and walking around in San Francisco this afternoon. Like, we're not normal. And that's why I feel like for us, but you're right. For us, it's easier to have this conversation and try to stress to Kev that, like, no, really, like, Cool Greg doesn't care. Cool Greg's got nothing to do. He'll come in and do it. But that's me struggling to tell that to, what, it's a company of seven, but of four employees. Like, there's three co-founders and four employees, and I can't get that message to him one-on-one. And we get together in our pajamas and play Monster Hunter, literally. Like, how is it for Dan Houser to say that to a company as big as Rockstar and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any one solution. Like I said, every company is different, but I do believe in, especially now, and I see it a lot out there now in the gaming community, but certainly having known many programmers, developers, there's just a culture of overworking yourself. And,
sure.
And it kind of sucks because it does affect your mental health.
Sure.
And inevitably, that is the danger here. It's not just that you're working hard. The thing behind it is your mental and physical health. And so I do believe that companies need to have something in place. Yeah. So you might have to force Kevin to not work. If you believe that it's right for him, I would say maybe you have to tell him, I'm sorry, you can't. You know, because when you get into the optional side of things, sorry, Kevin, you just got
to
stay at home. But you know what I mean? I don't know that that's the right solution, but something's got to be there to make sure that you as a company are taking care of your employees' mental health. And I would actually argue that having optional, hey, we're having a Zen hour that you can participate in, those things I don't think work as well because they're totally optional.
Yeah.
And I can tell you personally, I mean, we have like, you can get an optional like a massage or a whatever, you know, we have those things at IGN sometimes.
Where the hell was that when
like
I was there?
I think you still pay for it, but it's like you can take that time. But I'm like, I can't take an hour and then I'll be one of those people that's doing it at the level I'm at. So I think you got to put something in place that's a little more of a mandate. I don't know. I'm not running my own company quite yet.
Sure.
Maybe I'll figure it out you know, in the near future. But
that's why when I worked at IGN, I instituted a two-hour smash.
You had to like...
Is this
day.
How the email read?
Was this...
I'm instituting... 2 hours.
No, all the words aren't coming to me. You know
Smash.
What I'm talking about.
Wait, Kevin, were
you? Yeah, you used to play Smash for two
were
hours.
Were you doing this every day?
Shut up. You knew.
In addition
you
to
were,
lunch?
Hey. Just so you know, you were in there a lot of the time. So
I was 100% not playing Smash Brothers for 2 hours.
Do you remember
day.
When HR came over and told him to stop drinking at his desk?
No.
You don't
Did
remember
that happen?
Yeah.
You know what? There's a lot of things that... At the level I was at,
they didn't filter to you
with Nick Scarpino, trained myself. I hear no evil, see no evil.
I'm like, pretty sure I asked permission to go buy the bottle of.
I did not know you're
drinking. Nick was just a garbage can filing cabinet. Anything comes to him, right into it. Nobody cares.
I think I asked you permission, and it was when the holiday party got canceled, and everyone was bummed out.
I feel like there's so much that's being said on air that just can't be taken back. Can you erase this part?
Obviously, I'm just kidding. That didn't happen.
Number two on the rope. Well, to wrap up number one, of course, with all this stuff. Like, I was interested to see how many people today wrote in, like, I'm in a really tough spot of, like, I can't wait for Red Dead, but I don't want it to be if people are being, you know, worked beyond their means or beyond their desires.
1 out of 10, how do you think Dan handled the situation?
Oh, post... Yeah. Like, in terms of handling...
With his response.
I mean, I think they handled it 8 or 9. Like,
there it is. Put it on the critics game.
The best thing to do...
I agree.
7-9 for you. The best thing to do, right, is, like, not say it or be very clear then. But I also understand what it's like to be in an interview for 3 hours and you say something that you think is crystal clear.
Yeah.
And then they say something and you're like, oh, no. You see it in print. You're like, we weren't on the exact same thread here, right?
Yeah. Again, the recourse was awesome. I did rated a 9. He did awesome. Yeah.
Okay, good. Number two. This is a very short one compared to the giant one we've had. There's not going to be any Halo Infinite at XO18. Brian Jarrard, right? Yeah. Community director at 343 got in a conversation with a kid. He responded, and I say kid, somebody on Twitter, who asked about Halo Infinite's information at the event. And he said, quote, I'd love to start getting more info out there. And we're talking internally about what, when, where, how, but nothing currently planned for XO18. So maybe this, something will happen, but no. Yeah. As of now, no.
Do you think this adds more credence to the fact that it's definitely a next-gen game? Because that's been the sort of thought and rumor is that this is actually a next gen product. Because they haven't been explicit, I don't think, up to this point, if I've been able to follow it.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Am I? We'll find out.
Yeah, we won. Well, my main question, and this is weird.
Maybe it's for both. You know, one of those.
What is next gen? I really do think they're going to be like, whatever next gen is for Xbox, I do think it's going to be. It also plays in your Xbox One.
Yeah,
doesn't have this, doesn't have that, but it does.
Because they're doing this cloud, X Cloud or whatever right now, which is the idea. Like, you can have an Android phone or maybe a Windows phone. You can have just play it on your phone. I know there's not one anymore. But you can play the same games at a lower graphical setting or whatever. So you're right. Maybe it just works across all the platforms in the future.
And that's my biggest question about next gen in general.
It's
like
an infinite line of gameplay systems to,
until it all gets streaming.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the future now.
I mean, that is the holy grail. I assume most people know that, but if not, everything will be and should be in the cloud eventually. I love hardware. We went through the same thing with like digital assets, right? But eventually it's going to be just like Netflix, where you're like, as long as I get the high quality bitrate I need, I don't want to own all these games physically or whatever. Yeah. I mean, we do so much stuff digitally anyway. So you're just one more step away from, I don't need to store it locally.
And that's where it's going to keep going, I feel like, is they're going to keep trying to wean people off of this. Because so many people are, like, they're writing all the time. I want hardware, and I want the copies, and I want to have it on my shelf, and I want this thing, and the internet sucks where I am. And there's all these things that, once they turn that corner, and that's no longer a problem, and 5G's everywhere, or whatever it's going to be, that's when it gets interesting.
How many times have we been let down by this promise, though?
On live.
PlayStation streaming.
So we were talking about it, and like, oh man, like somebody was talking about like last week when we were doing all this stuff about streaming of like, oh yeah, and on the bones of this. And I'm like, no, I remember Scott Lowe walking around IGN with a Gen 1 iPad playing Arkham City, I think, on it. You know what I mean? Like, on live was way ahead of the game, and nobody cares.
You just gotta believe.
It's just too much lag.
I do believe.
Yeah. We'll get there.
But the technology is, I don't know if it's far away, but it seems really far away still, even though...
Have you played Assassin's Creed on...
No, I didn't try the Google Chrome
Project Stream.
It's shocking.
Was it smooth? Like, the gameplay delay wasn't there?
It was really smooth.
Yeah, it was awesome when we played it.
Yeah. I think that... Did it look good as well?
Well, the problem is we were playing it off... No, let me get there. We were playing off Jared's tiny, tiny computer, and I don't know what the resolution
and the
of
Wi-Fi
that,
in here and yada.
The resolution of the screen, I have no idea what it was. So
it was not nearly as clear as when I'm playing at home on PS4 Pro, but I'm sure with a better connection, a better computer, it would be. And that's what we're talking about, scalability.
Exactly. And you said the right words. I think once we're on 5G and it's spreading, now we're talking, because that's so fast.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll be closer then.
Yeah, I can't wait. Somebody did write in. I didn't make it to the rundown. I didn't think we were going to touch on it. That they did Assassin's Creed through Project Stream this weekend and had a not great experience with it, which I'm not not shocking. It's going to be case by case.
So many things at play. Jared's laptop in particular.
Yeah. Fucking Jared. Number three, digital sales of Call of Duty Black Ops 4 have broken some records. This is GamesIndustry.biz's Christopher Dring. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 has set a new digital download record, Activision has revealed. The game has achieved Activision's biggest launch day digital sales, besting the likes of Destiny 2. It is also the fastest selling digital game in PlayStation history. It has set a new launch day record for digital games sold via the PlayStation Store. On Xbox One, it also set a record as Activision's biggest Xbox digital launch. The game was made available on PC via Blizzard's Battle.net service for the first time. Parentheses, historically, the game was sold via Steam. It set a new franchise record with digital PC launch sales more than double what Call of Duty World War II managed to do during the same period in 2017. According to Activision, more people connected online to play Blops 4 during launch day than last year's WW2. The publisher stopped short of saying the game outperformed last year's title. Indeed, physical launch sales of Call of Duty Black Ops 4 declined by almost 50% in the UK compared to Call of Duty World War II.
That's the question, Jimmy. Like, the way these things always come out, you're like, let's see.
Let's be as precise as possible with our word usage to break a record.
Yeah, well, but you look at it and you're like, digital game sales are increasing year on year, every year, right?
Yeah.
What is the Air website? That they use.
Oh, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. No, that's not correct. That's correct.
Pretty sure it's right. But it's on track to do the same thing next year, in theory, right? Until things slow down. But I do say, reading between the lines and having played a lot of Blackout, at least, I think it's doing pretty darn well.
How much have you played?
Oh, quite a bit. I played.
Were you streaming it?
Yeah, I was streaming it.
Twitch.tv/FM3_.
That's the one. Thank you very much, Greg. First night.
Are you partnered? Can people sub?
I'm partnered. People can sub. That's one of the best ways to support me and what I'm doing out there. But
what if they're listening in their car right now? They don't use Twitch, but they have Amazon Prime.
Well, if you have Amazon Prime, you might have a free subs giveaway every month. Otherwise, Jeff Bezos is going to take your money.
Yes, so exactly.
Go out there and give it to somebody. It doesn't have to be me. It could be kind of funny games.
Look at that. Look at Fran. You're a professional. You're ready.
Thank you very much. But yeah, I played quite a bit on Friday and then Saturday. You know, I had a lot to think about. But but Friday, I actually hopped in, and this was really interesting. Hopped in, and I am not like an awesome FPS guy as much as I play Destiny and Fortnite and everything.
Sure.
I'm like, okay. Yeah. And there's always a learning curve. But first that I hopped in, and it was my second match, and I almost like lazily got a victory royale or nice. Whatever they call it. I was like, okay. And then I was feeling good. And the next day, just hair pullingly bad. Yeah. Just like, yeah,
everyone's off work and school and they're ready to go.
It was bad the second day. Because I actually tweeted out, I was like, if you don't think this game's like accessible, I was like, check it out. It's for everybody. The next day, I'm going to retract my tweet. I'm like, it's bad out there right now. I'm getting crushed.
You're going to have a bad time.
I might have just had some bad drops. But Blackout in particular, the Battle Royale mode, is a lot of fun. I can't speak as much to the multiplayer. And Zombies is always like a great experience. Yeah. They just launched a patch, I think, for Zombies. And so I think it's worth checking out if you
Friday,
like
I came home, dropped in, did one Blackout match just to get a feel for it, see what it was like. And I was like, oh, cool. I could see playing more of this. Closed it and went back to Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
I'm like, I got work to do.
That
I got
game
work
is
to do.
So big. I saw you beat it, right?
Yeah. Not we yet. Have questions coming up in
Platinum
Rare
Man. It yet?
No, I haven't platinum it yet. Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jen's eye roll on Twitter was very much in real life as well.
I think you're crazy to try to do that. Been before Red Dead, like, forget about it.
Yeah. Number four on the Roper Report, the final news story of the day. Yakuza has hit a very important milestone. This is from Mike Hardens over at videogamer.com. He led talking about how Sonic sold a whole bunch, like, it's crossed some threshold. Who the fuck cares? But then he gets into this important stuff. Sega's 2018 integrated report also confirmed that Persona and Yakuza have sold 9.3 million and 11 million units worldwide, respectively, while Puyo Puyo has drummed up 27 million units. Speaking of Yakuza, it seems the franchise is finally getting the attention it deserves in the US and UK. Apparently, Yakuza 6 sold as many copies in the West as it did in Japan, which definitely wasn't the case for the earlier titles. In the past, this is a quote, in the past, the Japanese market has generated the bulk of sales for these series, and although it has elements that are appealing to overseas, However, the game was not developed with the European and US markets in mind, confirmed Sega's Kenji Matsubara.
Banana Nut Muffin himself.
Yeah. If you don't know Fran's Banana Nut Muffin story.
We'll tell it another time when Nick's here.
Jeez. Okay. Thanks to painstaking efforts to create a game that Japanese fans will appreciate, the title has become popular not only in Japan, but also won over fans overseas who praise the refined game sense of the title. I believe this is why Yakuza 6, The Song of Life, has become such a popular hit around the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Good?
I've always loved the Yakuza games.
Yeah.
I kind of tapped out. I had enough Yakuza.
I was wondering, like, why do you think this happened? Do you think it gained traction with the right, like, influencers and just, like, press that got the word out? Or that they did something with the game itself?
You know, I think it's more the fact that it got into the right. I think the games have changed in a way that suddenly you see, you know, Kazuma texting a bike flipping over with a granny on it or stuff. You're like, what is this? Yeah. I need to jump in. You watch somebody twitch it. You watch get the idea behind it. It's easier to disseminate that information. Whereas when I was reviewing them and I put it up on IGN and the blogger all says Yakuza review, you'd be like, I don't know what Yakuza is. Keep rolling, right? And even if you read the intro paragraph, exactly. I don't know what this is.
Get Yakuza. Don't be a loser.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we had some good strap lines at IGN, didn't we?
But I think it's probably a combination of things, but I did see Max Scoville actually had put up it was just a clip of him like kicking through everything in a room, and it was ridiculous. I also saw some of these like other crazier clips on social. I feel like that actually 100%. Has contributed a bit.
Yakuza is a fun game and great and everything, but it plays the best right in GIFs or even screenshots, and the ability to share all that stuff has definitely seen, I think, an uptick in like what is going on. Yeah. There's a great Twitter thing that's just Yakuza out of context.
Really?
Yeah, that's just like weird screenshots and quotes from the game and stuff.
Got to be a Reddit as well, I'm sure.
Oh, of course, Now, Fran, I can't wait to see what they do with the next Yakuza.
Me as well.
But it's still so far away. I need something more imminent. Like, say, what came to the mom and grop shops today? Fran, tell me where I'd go.
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, Defiance 2050 gets a Trouble in Paradise update. Hand of Fate 2, the acclaimed action role-playing game from Defiant Development, embraces the darkness with the Servant and the Beast DLC available now on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, Mac, and Linux. And then in the rare Monday release on the PSN, Palm Reading is out on the PlayStation 4. Now, if you are like me, ladies and gentlemen, you said, excuse me, Palm Readings on the PlayStation 4? That sounds like an easy platinum. So you went to find out more about this game. Where I went was the PlayStation Canada store that had this bio for it. Palm Reading Premium is the most luxury and professional palmistry and chronology software out there. You can use it to analyze, read, and master your palm lines and palm fingers without knowing anything of hand reading. Understand yourself better with simple slash quick and entertaining image tests. Get analytics of your own. And I was like, this thing sounds like the easiest platinum in the world.
Yeah.
Charles J. wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and said, greetings, Greg and mystery guest. Sorry about that, friend.
Okay.
So I was looking through the new releases, and one game popped into my mind for one specific reason. It sounds like an easy plat for Greg. It's called Palm Reading, and it counts as a game according to the PlayStation blog. Yet, there's no trophies tied to it at all. I even checked the release history on Steam. I bring this to your attention as I remember a promise to us that every game would have trophies. And as far as I know, they've kept to that since the implementation. They haven't, but it does matter. It might be a matter of a lack of gameplay or something, but if Slide, My Name is Mayo, etc. can get platinum trophies, I'd say a Palm Reading title has at least 10 easy bronze trophies.
Man.
I concur. Now, again, jury is out. We don't know for sure. He's going off. The game wasn't up on PSN yet when I got here. The fact that the trophies wouldn't be on Exophase, yes, which I did not check. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Go ahead and check it out for me. But Charles J. going to Steam to look at the Steam trophy list, and there not being any, that is troublesome.
Let me see your hand. I'm going to see.
You don't know. You haven't played yet.
Trophies are not in your future.
Oh, damn it, Fran.
Sorry, man.
That was good. I didn't know where you were going with that one. New dates for you. Destiny 2's Festival of the Lost begins tomorrow. Tuesday, October 16th at 10 a.m.
Reset day, Greg.
It concludes Tuesday, November 6th at 10 a.m. What is this Festival of Lost all about? You excited? You into it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every year, Destiny has these little events where they decorate the tower, and with that come some new engrams and some new items to buy from the Eververse.
Yes.
But it's also cool things to earn, and you can wear these like masks to kind of dress up your guardian. But I will say, if you read the Bungie update, you can check out Fireteam Chat as well. We went over it last Friday.
No, you don't promote them anymore.
Absolutely. But they basically are doing some new stuff. There's going to be a new mission that's opened up later on, and there's some questline stuff to do. So actually, there's a little more meat on the bone on this one. I believe there's also a legendary auto rifle or something that you can earn. So yeah, they got some good stuff on this one if you're a big Destiny fan.
Okay.
And Forsaken's been awesome so far.
I was going to say, it seems like everybody's back on the positive swing of Destiny.
Oh,
right?
My goodness. They really course corrected. I could go on, you know, for a whole show.
I know you could, yeah.
But they have so much content out there, and it really feels like the glory days of Destiny 1 year, late into year 2 and into year 3, but I've been having tons of fun, and the grind is real, but it's fun. We should play sometime.
No, the grind, I can't fit that in.
We can't catch you up anymore.
I got Odyssey, I got Astrobot, I got Lego,
Palm.
I got Red Dead, I got Palm Reading. If it's easy, if the trophies are there, I gotta do Palm Reading tonight.
Right.
I just can't. I'm sorry, I love you, I can't.
Exactly.
Deals of the day for you. They've announced a Diablo 3 Switch bundle. Here is the official word from Nintendo. The devil is literally in the details of a new Nintendo Switch bundle featuring Blizzard's legendary game, Diablo 3 Eternal Collection. Launching exclusively at GameStop on November 2nd, fans who pick up the devilish bundle will receive a Nintendo Switch system and dock featuring Diablo 3 artwork, a download code for Diablo 3 Eternal Collection game, and a themed carrying case, all at a retail price of $359.99.
Plus your soul.
Diablo 3 Eternal Collection contains the full classic game, as well as all the expansion content, The Rise of the Necromancer and Reaper of Souls. In addition, fans who play a Nintendo Switch version will receive in-game items that are only available on Nintendo's hit console. These in-game bonuses include a variety of items from the Legend of Zelda series, including Ganondorf Transmog armor, a companion Cuckoo pet, and a golden Triforce portrait frame.
I like the way you say Puyo Puyo and
Puyo Puyo.
Cuckoo. That was two in particular. Good one.
Hey, man, when you're Greg Miller, you're out there without a net. You just see a word you don't know, you steamroll right through it.
Go
you
for
just
it.
Keep on going. Time for reader mail. But first, I'll tell you, it's brought to you by Hims, MeUndies, and Loot Crate. Let's start with Hims. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35, and the thing is, once you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than replace it. How do I know? Nick and Andy on the other side of the wall are using Hims right now for Hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. What they did is they went there, took photos of their hairline, sent them in, talked to a doctor online. He prescribed these medicines. They're cheaper because they're generic. They sent him over here, and now Nick continues to eat Andy's hair loss gummies, and Andy gets mad every day. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. There's no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. Save hours by going to forhims.com. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. forhims.com/gamesdaily. Let's talk about MeUndies. You've heard me obsess over my MeUndies and all the amazing colors and prints they offer. But guys, did you know that MeUndies also makes the world's most comfortable lounge pants and tees? This fall, well, with fall finally here, there's no better time to put on these cozy essentials to the test. Everyone knows I only wear MeUndies. I threw away the rest of my underwear when I found out how much I loved MeUndies. And I've only ever bought them. They've never sent them to me for free. What the F, but I'll leave it alone. I am going to buy these lounge pants as well because they're the best fabric and they're super, super soft. Kevin, am I lying?
No.
The lounge pants are made from the same micromodal fabric as their undies, and you'll be in fall heaven, and you cover your bottom half with a fabric that's three times softer than cotton. MeUndies also is celebrating the fall season with fun Halloween prints. Check out their latest jack-o'-lantern prints in undie socks and bralettes. And the best part, when you join the membership, you can get all this stuff, everything they make, for less than anybody else. MeUndies is a great offer for my listeners and for any first-time purchasers. When you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. It's a no-brainer. Get 15% off and a pair of the most comfortable undies or lounge pants you'll ever put on. To get your 15% off, your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. That's MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. And rounding out the trio, Loot Crate. I love Loot Crate. They have a thing called Gaming Crate now, where they send you all these different things. You ever use the Loot Crate, Fran?
I've not used it myself.
You're a monster.
I know of Loot Crate. Always get it at IGN. I don't really have to.
I just got the Loot Crates here, and what I got out of it was a Foxhound glass. Foxhound pint glass from the one and only Metal Gear, and I love it very much. This month's theme, because every month has a theme, is Nightmare. Fight back against malevolent forces and gear up with stuff from Soul Calibur 2, Silent Hill, Psychonauts, and Cuphead. What is Loot Gaming? It's a monthly subscription box delivered directly to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Gaming curates, designs everything themselves, and you won't find these anywhere else. They give you $60 of value in each crate for less than $29 a month. Right now, this crate's going to sell out, the October 1 Nightmare. You must order by the end of this week to guarantee yours. Get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company, Geek Out in Style with Loot Crate. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter my code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. That's lootcrate.com/games, my code GAMES for 30% off. Oh, Fran, where do I want to take you?
I will say, remember, these are not just ads, but a great way to support the show. It's not on the script, but it's true, right? It's not just an ad. It supports the show.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, but our kids are good about it.
Well, I know they know that. Yeah. Just a little extra.
One guy was like, can you put music behind your ads so I can skip faster? And I was like, no. I
don't know.
No, I can't do that, actually. That's a lost leader for the people.
Yep.
Fran, you mentioned that Assassin's Creed.
Right? It's so good.
Oh, Kevin has as well. Kevin, now you're all big talk trying to beat it this week. Did you beat it this weekend?
No, man, not even close. Remember when I was like, oh, I'm just going to power through it? Turns out I didn't.
You enjoyed the ride.
I enjoyed the ride.
Okay.
Way too much.
Yeah? What are you at right now according to UB Club?
I haven't checked since I told you, but then it was 75 hours.
75 hours into this game.
Oh my goodness.
Yikes.
And it's like probably scratching the surface from what I've seen. I haven't had a chance to play it.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so in love with it.
One of those things I want to make time to do is play a game like Assassin's. It's on my list right now.
Here we go. Whispa writes in and says, hey Greg and Mystery Host, my question is, now that and this is mainly for me since you haven't even touched it, I won't accept your answer. You finished AC Odyssey, which is your favorite Odyssey? Assassin's Creed or Super Mario? I know they are very different games, but which one is better? Which game is in your favorite too? Do you think there's a difference between a game being your favorite and the best game? Thanks, Whispa. There is a huge difference. So I beat the story of Assassin's Creed over the weekend. I'm at 53, 54 hours on my save.
You're efficient.
hey man, I'm out there, I'm hustling. And I did the microtransaction thing too.
There's so many things you can do though.
I know. Well, that's the thing is I beat it and I'm by no means done. I have a whole bunch of cult members to go after. I would like to platinum it. Will it happen? Who knows? Will it happen before Red Dead? No fucking way. Yeah. But I'd like to do it one day and all stuff. What is better, Assassin's Creed Odyssey or Super Mario? Totally different games.
Yeah.
Such a weird question to ask.
But
the answer is Super Mario. I mean, come on. Like, I mean, like, it's the thing. I love Assassin's Creed. I'm having a great time. Super Mario is polished in every aspect. Yeah. Whereas Assassin's Creed does have its weird hangups here and there. Sure. But again, completely different games. I also say this knowing that, you know, last year, Odyssey, Super Mario was my game of the year. That's the one I was stumping for. That's what I voted for. Zelda won, whatever.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Whatever.
Okay, but Zelda was amazing.
Zelda's
right?
amazing too. I loved it, it was a tough choice.
Yeah.
Exactly. This year, Odyssey's on my. Definitely gonna be if I get invited back to Giant Bomb for a top 10 list, it's gonna be on there. But it's, I mean, God of War is still my game of the year this year.
Based on what you've experienced, is Assassin's Creed Odyssey the best Assassin's Creed for you?
Based on my experience, yes.
Seems that way, man.
We've talked about this a little bit, but to recap, like, right, fell in love with the series with 2 in Ezio, loved Brotherhood, kind of drifted. I was in and out of them for a while. Thought Black Flag's gameplay was the best. Mm. But then I think this is the best story. Like up, I mean, like until the end. Like when the final cutscenes played out yesterday for me, and there's different endings. Mm. I put it on the controller. I turned it on. I'm like, what a game! What a fucking game! And like I've been, and then not to mention the gameplay and how much I want to go back and how much I want to do other stuff.
It looks incredible.
Are you think you'll actually get into it?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I just got to find the time. I mean, it's funny. This is my first day that I'm like,
come on, unraveling
to like, I mean, I still have to start creating, you know, new lines of business. But, dude, I want to play that game bad. So.
What's your game of the year? Andy from England writes in and says, question, Greg, you've mentioned several times recently that you love Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And now that you've completed it, I was wondering if you feel it stacks up with your two current front runners. I presume for game of the year, God of War and Spider-Man. Can it be considered on that level? Or is it slightly below, say, slightly below and say a Monster Hunter World tier? Good luck getting that platinum before your Red Dead code arrives. Andy. Yeah, I'm still, God of War is still my game of the year.
Me too.
Spider-Man was an amazing experience and I love Spider-Man. I think it's an awesome, incredible game, but I don't think it beat God of War.
Yeah.
And same with Odyssey, where I think Odyssey's awesome, but I don't think this beats Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, there's almost something to be, I mean, God of War is huge, but I almost feel like in some ways when the games get too big and there's, you know, it throws the pace off. It's not that Spider-Man and Assassin's, again, I haven't played those yet, but I've seen plenty of them.
Dude, it's such
getting there.
You have hundreds of hours to play Destiny.
I do now.
Every
do
night you're playing it.
A lot of Destiny as well. But the pace and polish of God of War just blew my mind.
And this is something I think Kevin touched on this morning, where I was like, well, where are you in the story? And Kevin told me, and he's like, am I close? And he's also like, am I going to be on this quest forever? Because there are quests that have in Odyssey that are like, you unlock it and it's like, okay, cool, do these four things. Like, I see how we're going to keep this quest going. Whereas God of War, I always felt like it was moving at a good clip and it had me going. And not that I think Odyssey drags, but I definitely, all right, now I'm running across the map to this other point of interest or whatever for Odyssey.
Yeah.
It was it's a different vibe, but it definitely fucks with the pacing in a different way.
Yeah, and honestly, just the combat in God of War is so polished and the tactile feel of it, it kept drawing me in. And actually, this was one of those games that normally, this rarely happens to me, but normally I want to go right through the campaign, so to speak, right? This had me going to those little side areas and trying to like get the special items, complete my armor sets and stuff. And a few games do that, but man, God of War was just incredible.
No, me too. That's the thing is, like, God of War, I felt like was such a total 100% out of a pack. It's a package, and I wanted to do everything.
We'll see if Red Dead can take the throne this year.
Yeah, we will see. Red Dead, all eyes are on them. Are you excited, Kev?
For Red Dead?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so excited. Scared that I can't finish Odyssey beforehand, though.
Will you turn off the map marker so you just have to get your points of interest from the local NPCs?
I'm gonna tinker with it and see, but like
that seems like asking. For it to take like 500 hours to
Odyssey's
finish.
Exploration mode is similar, right? Have you heard about this? Where there's the normal Assassin's Creed. When you start, it's like, do you want guided or do you want exploratory?
Oh, yeah.
And if you do the exploration one, it's like they take away the, as soon as you get a quest, go here. You have to actually look at a map and figure it out and piece it together. And it's like, well, it's north of the you know, the mint or whatever.
We don't have time
I like it, too.
That. No, did you play it that way?
I did play it that
way.
No
way.
Yeah.
Wow. And you still beat it in 50 some hours.
Yeah. But I mean, at the end there, I was like, I want to go to the story stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But I love the concept in Red Dead, though. When I read that, I was like, that is so cool. Like, just the idea of, like, you, like, have to talk to someone.
Go to the main willow tree and
see the old burnt cactus and then go past the
oil field. We weren't hired as one of the 7,000 voice actors.
Well, Jiminy Jellicers, it's the old Dutch gang. There's a snake in my boot. We're just doing Toy Story now.
Chris from Missouri, M-I-Z, writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, this past weekend I went on a guy's trip with a group of friends to a, quote, gamer's ranch. That has video games and especially board games. Gamersranch.com. The ranch had both an HTC Vive and a PSVR set up, and it was the first time I was able to really sink my teeth into VR. First, Beat Saber is awesome.
Oh, so good.
Preach, sir. Preach.
Wait, is that out? Oh, wait.
It's out on Vive, but yeah, they still haven't put it out. Yeah, it's announced and coming, but who knows when. Yeah. Second, I am now very interested in purchasing a PlayStation VR. Here's my question. Do you think it's a good time to purchase PlayStation VR? We just hit the 2-year anniversary, so I am scared that if you purchase one now, that a new model is potentially right around the corner. And do you think there will be Black Friday type deals on PSVR in the coming month? Thanks for all the content. Chris from Missouri. I think, so at the top, and I want to take away, is there a new one? I think it's a great time to buy PlayStation VR. As Jared and I were talking on Gamescast, and I think a little bit here on this show last time, like, you actually have a lineup now where you'd have a debate of, let's do a top 10 list, and there would be actually like, oof, what do I want to put on there? What do I not want to? Over the weekend, there was a tweet about, like, hey, it's a 2-year anniversary. What's your favorite game? And I listed a bunch, and then people started responding, like, what about this? And I'm like, totally forgot about that. That is a great game that totally went under my radar.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's enough out there to justify the purchase for sure, especially when you talk about there being an Astrobot plus Moss bundle, which are two amazing VR games.
Yeah, what occurs to me is, like, platforms like this, especially at launch, they have this idea that it's a gimmick that's going to fade, and, like, it was, like, 3D TVs and other experiences before that, Virtual Boy. But, like, you think it's going to fail, right? But it's been... how long now?
2 years.
It's been
they just had the 2-year anniversary.
But even in that time, they've just added so much to it. So yeah, that's where, like, I think it started as a question. And now it's like, dude, if you like VR, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the only thing holding me back is Beat Saber's not on it yet. So otherwise,
dude, Beat Saber, when I get there, killer so app. Good. Tetris Effect, killer app. Like, they have some amazing shit. I haven't seen that yet. I'm sorry, Kevin Coyle from kindoffunny.com.
Oh, so Fran, how... No, that's wrong. How dare you put 3D TVs in the same, like, echelon as Virtual Boy. Ridiculous.
It sucked. 3D TVs
suck. No, they do not suck. Oh, they actually God, work. Kevin.
They're garbage.
It doesn't matter that nobody You're wants garbage. To watch that. There, it's
Lots
a dead format.
Like,
James Cameron sucks
there
for trying to make those.
Of us.
What's wrong with him?
He's the law, dude.
I swear to start.
We need another 51 minutes for me to explain everything wrong with Kevin. In terms of, will there be a price drop? Black Friday bundles? I assume.
Yeah,
that'll be retailer to retail. That there'll be discounts on PlayStation VR, of course. I think you can find that no problem. When will they release the next PlayStation VR headset? Great question. I don't see it being E3 this year. And then if that doesn't happen, I don't know if you do it in the same year you're talking about PlayStation 5.
Right, I know.
Because then you're talking about two giant things. It could happen right before PlayStation 5, which does put us in the spinning window now, or right after PlayStation 5, for my money.
Yeah, I mean, what's the main thing they need with the hardware? The resolution.
Yeah, the
probably,
resolution,
right?
The screen door That's effect. Get a better a screen in there.
Yeah.
And I just don't, right now, the thing you can hang your hat on with PlayStation VR is like, hey, yeah, there's better VR units, but for the price, for
affordable.
The library, for the accessibility, you're just plugging this into a system and going.
Yeah, for the price and the games available, it really can't be beat right now.
Yeah,
so I think they're just leaning into that until it gets big enough.
Yeah, and so I would think not, but I also think if you could get it on a deal at Black Friday, I don't think you're going to lose that much in terms of, like, here comes the hotness of what that would even
and
cost.
And I assume that any games you buy would work on the next
hardware.
Oh,
that for sure.
Right?
Yeah,
you're pretty safe on that front.
Chris from Low Neon. Chris from Low Neon, we're going to say. Writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I'm just sitting here playing Fallout Shelter, and it made me wonder, are there any mobile games which you guys just couldn't stop playing even long after their lifespan? You ever get into a mobile game, Fran?
You know what? I actually was into Pokemon Go for a while.
Oh, here we go.
So there was that,
yeah.
But that was right during launch, and I just was trying to catch them all, you know?
Sure, yeah,
I didn't think I would get into it, but man, I was buying the Pokeballs and everything.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you know, and it strikes me as this is my first day as a free man, every time I picked up my phone, I was on email. So I wasn't I'm not against mobile gaming.
Yeah. But just not a device you usually play with.
Although, wait, I should add two things that stuck out to me. I do like Impossible Runners, or whatever they call them, Endless Runners. So there's this game, Impossible Road, which I loved. It's just like taking this ball down a track. There's a lot of games out there like that that I really like. That, and then of course the Room series, which was more on like the iPad and stuff. But the Room, which just got announced for Nintendo Switch, I believe. But those types of games, it's like Myst.
What is the Room?
Oh, it's awesome. Oh, okay. It's like Myst. Okay. So you just like go in a room and solve puzzles. It's awesome. So actually check it out on Switch. Years old. There's like Room 3 now, maybe 4, I don't even know. But so those I got into.
Yeah.
But it was always when I was like flying or when I couldn't like have a connection.
Sure.
What about you?
For me, right, there's three that jump to mind. Number one, Game Dev Story.
Oh,
which
yeah.
one that dropped, that was, I mean, but that was just a solid week, I would say, of nonstop playing on the BART to and from IGN at the time. Sparcade, do you remember Sparcade?
No.
It's something that we did a sponsorship with them. It would have been not last year, the year before, right, Kevin? Does that sound right?
Yep.
2016. They launched this app that was classic games. You could play within the app, but you played against each other, other people, and you could either bet with in-game currency or real money. So, and I was such a Tetris fiend that I got up to like $100 of real money in there that from people I was winning. Yeah. And I was legitimately obsessed with it for a while, where it was like I'd come home and not play real games, quote unquote, on my console. I'd sit there and play Tetris on my phone to try to best this score to try to earn more money. Even though it wasn't about the money, it was just about, hey, here's a tangible reward to playing.
Yeah.
These goddamn kids.
It's funny. There were more games now that are coming back to me. Like I was really into Fire Emblem when it launched.
Sure.
Awesome mobile.
And I was thinking Tetris had leveling and all the stuff and new unlocks. And I was like, I'm trying to do all this stuff.
There's so much out there on mobile actually. Yeah. So it's where you play it and why, you know, I know.
And for me right now, it's going to be next week for all fucking systems go, Ghostbusters World.
Yeah.
And so full disclosure, of course, I got cast in the commercial and we're working on a sponsored Let's Play or party mode for them soon. So if you want to take it with a grain of salt, go ahead. But y'all know I'm a huge ghost head. And it's Pokemon Go with Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And the build I have, which is not launch, obviously, runs well enough. And I'm out there busting ghosts. And so is that like, I turned a corner last night of like, man, I'm just building up these coins. What is that for? And I lost to, I couldn't, I was doing a thing and the ghost got away. Mm-hmm. And at the end, it's like, well, you know, maybe you should consider upgrading your weapons. Like, I can upgrade my weapons.
Oh.
And then I went into the upgrade tree now, the RPG of making my proton pack. And this is where they get into the microtransactions, where it's in-game.
You can buy some.
In-game currency to upgrade my stuff, right? And I have tons of in-game currency. Mm-hmm. However, it's the thing of like, cool, we're researching your new particle thrower, which means that for 15 minutes, this is what we're working on. Unless you want to use a gem right now or whatever to do it. And I don't want to use gems.
Oh, so you can speed up your progression.
Exactly. That's how they do it. And that's how Pokemon does it too, right? Of like, hey, do you want to walk around this egg for a while or, you know, use the gems right now? It's that
it's
kind
like
of stuff.
XP acceleration type stuff.
Exactly.
But you can't just do it over and over and over again to like...
I think if you want to spend all the money, but this is that's the PvE stuff, so who cares?
Gotcha.
That's you doing it. PvE is a different thing.
I thought it looked good, man. And I, like I said, I got caught up on Pokemon Go. Yeah. Kind of got just, I couldn't keep up with it. I'm actually excited to try
I'm
it
very
out.
Much in
Not
the,
sponsored
it's just,
on my side.
No, yeah. No, yet. It's very much I'm in that, like, the thing I was talking about with, like, I'm like Darth Maul at the end of episode one, where the gates are closed and I'm just pacing back and forth ready to go. Because I'm playing the game, but since they're going to wipe servers, until I can't invest as much as I want to. Like, I'm still doing dimensional doors, which are like Pokestops and all this shit, but it's like, what is this for? I just like it.
Yeah, no, exactly. You go as far as to like educate yourself on what you need to know.
Yeah.
Then but going too far.
I don't want to eat so much that I don't want to have the real dish.
Have to do it all over again.
When it comes out, you know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, do we want a final question?
There's so many good ones. It's hard to choose.
Kevin?
Yep?
You get to decide, all right?
I'm listening.
Do you want to talk about, and don't just yell out the one you want before I say them all.
Okay.
Fortnite dances?
Yeah, Fortnite.
Do you want to talk about Xbox Game Pass?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to talk about a rumored PlayStation message that bricks your console?
Oh, fuck. Oh, let's do that one.
Michael Angelou writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, PSA announcement. I saw this article, and then it's a tweet, but it doesn't matter, about how there is someone who is sending messages via the PlayStation Network that can possibly brick your system. They are advising us to change our privacy settings to on our messages to private. Something that can be done from the PSN messages app. So better safe than sorry. Saw this break over the weekend. I forget who tweeted it. One of who's the One Punch Man is their avatar? Not Titus.
Mm.
Somebody like that. You know who I'm talking about. Kindoffunny.com/Jerome. And I went in and it was a reset era thread, or maybe an r/gaming thread about, hey, there's this message that got sent to all my team while we were playing Rainbow Six, and it bricked all of our consoles, and we all had to factory reset them, and back and forth, back and forth. And you look at the message sent, and it's like something in another language, and then it's like the question marks from iOS, like when you don't have the latest software. And so I immediately went and changed my PSN messages to private because I don't know what the fuck's going on. Yeah. And there were all these other people saying, like, it's happened to me, it's done this, you got to do this. And if you apparently turn on your PSN, your PlayStation, and you've gotten the message, if you see the preview or you go into your messages, it's going to brick your unit.
What?
But, and this is all rumor and speculation.
Right. I was like, is this validated?
But yet? If you go into your PSN app for messages, you can delete it there before anything would happen to your console. So I don't know. Some people were like, this is bullshit. How would that possibly happen? And I was like, the other people popping up like, no, you'd be surprised. Like, if the system can't handle what that is, it doesn't know what to do and it flips the fuck out. I have not seen an official thing from PlayStation. I have not seen anyone officially report on this. It is just rumor and scuttlebutt on the dark web, as they say.
Yeah.
But I definitely sent my messages to private. Kevin Quillen.
Didn't we have something similar happen with, not bricking, but with iPhones where if you sent a certain message with a black dot, it would shut down your phone? You don't remember that?
I am unfamiliar with that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I'm certain of it. Like, I actually looked at videos, like, kind of breaking down what was happening.
Yeah.
And it was just exactly that. It couldn't interpret stuff, so it got into a loop where it just kept trying to interpret the message. So it's very possible that something like this could happen.
So, yeah, it was something I would imagine would be patched somewhat quickly, if real. There'd be a statement, if real. I don't know if anybody's out there shaking down the thing. I kind of forgot over the weekend.
Yeah, I was looking on Ask PlayStation just to see if anything was on their official Twitter feed. I'm not seeing anything yet. So.
Yeah. So something out there. If you see weird messages coming through, yeah, don't fuck
better
with that.
Safe than sorry.
I don't want to fuck with that shit. Right, come on now. But I backed up my saves. You what was that, Kev?
Don't fuck with it.
Don't fuck with it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is usually where we squad up, but I forgot to put one in there. It's been a Rick Rollin morning. Instead, I'll take you to the new segment that we have with a limited time called The Final Bad PSN Names. As you know, Fran, Shuhei Yoshida no longer hates us and is going to allow us to change our PSN names, which means we need to say goodbye to bad PSN names. I've asked people to write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with their bad PSN, their personal bad PSN names, and the reasons why. Now, we've done The Crass before on Beyond, on PS I Love You. These are more heartfelt stories so far, which I appreciate. Like Kim's. Kim writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, bad PSN name incoming. So with the news that we will be able to change our PSN names, man, was I quietly excited. The name I have is VRKA1. Sounds harmless enough, but it was one of those dumb kid/teenage things. So the VR is the initials of the girl I was with at the time, and the KA is mine, of course. Of course, that relationship didn't last. So it's super, super awkward to tell my current partner when she asks what your ID is ID is named after, because she wants to ask because she forgets, and I got, well, it's an old girlfriend. Awkward. So finally, I can't wait. 2019 to change my name. Also, first time writer, long time listener. Love all the shows and the team does. Thanks for listening to my awkward story, Kim.
Yeah.
That's a bad one.
You're not the only one out there probably with that. That's not my story, but I know those are out there.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There's so many people tied up with just... And that's the thing is, again, we used to be you write in with a bad name. You did something, you're stupid as your kid. You saw somebody doing some of the... Whatever.
Bong
you're
Ripper 420.
Exactly. Now you're writing like, all right, this one's... that is awkward to be like, well, this is why this happened. Oh, my God. It's never good when you open you're wrong and there's 32 Uh-oh. Responses.
Really?
Yeah. It's hopefully they're all just saying the same thing, but you never know. You know what I mean? It's terrible. I mean, to know, ladies and gentlemen.
Corrections.
We ask you watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we got wrong, what we screwed up, and then we set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, listening on podcast services around the globe. Capitalist Pig says the Walt Williams book I referenced was Significant Zero. The Polygon article is what also the other thing. Nope, we don't care about that. A lot of people that want to come in and just this is something.
Just drop in a comment.
This isn't. Yeah.
Come
on
now. Yeah, that's not cool.
Okay. Carson from Utah says, as per Xbox.com, Halo Infinite is exclusive to Xbox One and Windows 10. We had that question of like, is it going to be a next gen thing or whatever? They have gone on the record saying Xbox One. Hmm. But again, what will Xbox 2 be?
Yeah. Halo things.
Zyger writes in and says regarding Fran's streaming, Fran forgot to mention that if you sub to him on Twitch, twitch.tv/FM3_, Zyger, you also get a hair tip. So for people looking for good hair tips, sub to Fran. Fran, he has really cool emotes.
That's very nice, Iger. Thank you.
Great hair, too.
Kebab says it has been a requirement since mid-2008 that all new releases on PlayStation have trophies, with the exception of PS Minis on PS3 and PSP. Yes, but again, I know there's been games that haven't done it.
Got you, Zyger.
DLX Fuentes tries to nail me down and says Diablo 3 Eternal Collection will be available at, or this is the bundle, and in Canada at EB Games. There are no GameStops in Canada. EB is GameStop. GameStop is EB. Y'all got fucked, son!
Oh, you can't fucking get him. He's like Jello. You can't nail him down.
Nope. Don't care. That's fine. Nope.
Not too bad so far.
No, yeah, this is fine. Yeah. No.
You're going to have to change it to /Fran's wrong.
Seems Ignacio Rojas writes in and says, Fran asked what's wrong with Kevin. The short answer, a lot.
That's he not agrees. You're wrong.
Just saying. I like that one. I'm putting that out of there. Zaire says Disgaea 5 is complete is coming on October 22nd to Steam.
What if the developers from the palm reading game wrote in and that would be the best?
Listen here, motherfuckers. We got trophies. We got I'd be trophies. Like, yeah.
Fran was right.
Lord of Pwn says Nibel is the One Punch Man avatar on Twitter. Thank you very much. Oh, that's where we got a lot of people writing in. Yeah, yeah. Oh. Neo Aoshi says Sony has released a statement on Twitter about that thing. This is from the Ask PS_UK.
Oh.
We've since fixed the issue, and it wasn't bricking consoles, just sending them into a crash loop that can be quickly fixed in under 5 minutes. Delete the message from the PSN, the PlayStation mobile app, go into safe mode, use option 5, and the console will be back to normal. So there you go. All is well. We're fine. Thank you guys for that. Thank you, Blackjack, for writing in with that too. Zyre says, new date for you. Corpse Party Book of Shadows comes on October 29th to PC. Corpse Party 2 this winter. And then there you go. Nailed it. That's it. Not terrible.
Not too bad.
A lot of additive information, which I'm always a fan of.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD. Questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names in the final weeks here. Everything else under the video game sun. Watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. Hosting schedule goes like this. Tuesday, Andrea Renee returns with YouTube's Alex Rubens. Wednesday, it's me and Gary Witta. Thursday, it's me and Jared. And Friday, it's me and Andrea Renee. Fran Mirabella, congratulations on this new chapter of your life.
Thank you for having me.
When will you be streaming today? All day long? Is it a celebration? You getting a cake? You going home right away? Streaming for 24 hours? Day? He's streaming for 48 hours. He just said it.
Oh, my God.
I'm playing Palm Reader all day. Yeah, you know, it's funny to not have a schedule, but I always play late. I'll be playing later tonight, but I do want to get on sometime today, this afternoon. So
and I think that's the most interesting thing about this is you're very much figuring it out still, right? Like what you want to do and how you want to do it. So people should come to your Twitch and be part of the community and talk to you about what they want to see.
Exactly. Yeah, again, I want to stream during the day, right? But I'm not a content creator by trade anymore. That's what's weird. Sure. I went from reviewing Majora's Mask to being in charge of the business video at IGN. And there's a lot of stuff out there. I want to do three things. You know, one is creating content like on Twitch, possibly on YouTube. If you want to support me do that, then come find me. Twitch is obviously the current place, but you can find me on Twitter as well.
Sure.
Second thing is creating awesome video productions like you guys do here every day, going out creating stuff like you ever saw that show Expert Mode that I did?
I did.
It was an interview. Stuff like that.
I almost hosted one.
That's right. We talked about it. So I would love to continue to do stuff like that, whether it's with IGN or developers or whoever. And the third thing, of course, is like video business stuff. So if there's someone who wants to be the next Twitch or YouTube or just has like a channel like yours and is like, how do I figure YouTube out? Well, I've been doing that a long time. We just got our 10 million sub button at IGN.
And you're like, done.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm out
that
now.
Was it. Like, I'm out. But,
I was there for all 10 million. I'm
going. I want to do all that, but more than anything, I want to have a career in this business, and I've always had that, and I'm not going anywhere. So I can't wait to just get out there.
I'm proud of you, Fran.
Thank you for having
Everybody
me.
Follow this man, subscribe to this man, and until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.